Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
So, we are starting a new series called Pause. We are on Wednesday, it was Ash Wednesday, and it leads us into like our Lent season. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what Lent is, but to start, I'd love to read a quote from this book that I have all about Lent from one of my favorite speakers and authors. His name's Richard Rohr, and he says this: "You are the desiring of God, and God desires through you and longs for life and love through you and in you. Allow it, speak it, and you'll find your place in the universe of things. Now let me tell you something. You cannot begin to desire something if you have not already slightly tasted it. Now make that deep and hidden desire conscious, deliberate, and wholehearted, and make your desires good and far-reaching on this day of new beginnings. You cannot have such desires if God had not already desired them first, in you and for you and as you. Remember finally that the ashes on your forehead are created from the burnt palms of last Palm Sunday. New beginnings invariably come from old false things that are allowed to die." I love that. This dream of that there's new beginnings, that there's new desires. There's things that you want that are put there because God experienced it first, that God put those dreams, God put those longings, God put those passions in you. And the only way that you can desire it is that if someone else, if this divine, experienced and desired it first. And I love the idea. He says, like go after it. But the only way to get to those new beginnings if is something else is put to death. If something else that we've held on to, some other lies, something that we've formed inside of ourselves, if we want to experience growth and new beginnings out of that, something has to be put down. And we all are big fans of new beginnings, right? We want new beginnings at work, new beginnings maybe in a friendship, or new beginnings in that pair of pants that you bought are two sizes too small on purpose. You're like, no, I got it. I got it. I can do this in about 30 days, right? And you're like, you're looking, you're like, new beginnings. Like, we're all big fans of new beginnings. And this is what, really, one of the purposes of Lent. It's for sure one of the purposes of Ash Wednesday. For us to pause, to get quiet, to reflect, of saying, what is it that we really want? Because we go like a million miles per hour. Like, when I meet with couples, I'll ask them, like, what is it that you really want in your marriage? And a majority of couples, even me, when I ask that, I think, I'm like, what do I want in my marriage? I'm like, ooh, what do I want, right? Because we're on a habit, we're on a schedule, in a rhythm, and we go, go, go. Lent is a time for us to pause and think, is this really what I want? Is this life that I'm living, is it something I'm doing on, imagine this, on purpose? And when we, on Ash Wednesday, if you've celebrated this before, you go up to the front and they have this bowl of ashes and they put on your forehead the mark of the cross and they say, from dust you were created and to dust you shall return. Which is kind of a sobering thought. That's not like something you put on a pillow to put on your couch, right? That doesn't like get you all warm and fuzzy inside. But I think it's critically important that from dust we were created and we're going to all turn back to dust. You can't escape it. It's just how it works. That what you do in between those times matters. And if that is a way, at least if you're like me, when I think about it, I'm like, oh, I don't get to hit repeat over and over and over again. So what things do I really, really want? How do I experience new beginnings? And to experience a new growth through those ashes means I have to put something to rest. Because those ashes, which Richard Rohr talked about, like traditionally, are from the palm, from last year's celebration with the Palm Sunday. If you're newer to spirituality or this spirituality, the story of Jesus coming in this donkey and everyone got their palms on, waved around, laid them on the ground as a way of saying, you are who you say you are. You are the king. And they worshiped him with those same things that laid down that went from this huge celebration to the very next process that Jesus is actually killed. Goes from king to the cross really quickly. There was this beautiful thing that even those had to be put to death so that something new could happen. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to take some time to pause. Because like Lent leads up to the what the church has been calling for centuries called the Holy Week, to Easter, where we just talked about that it's all things new, that through the resurrected life, like all the dreams, all the beauty, the things that you just love being and celebrating and experiencing reflect this good and beautiful God. So before the big hats, before like the fist bumps, before the Easter ham, which is ironic if you really think about it, right? And before the loud songs, the popping of champagne and the celebration of this good and beautiful God making all things new, there is this pause. And the pause is important. And we identify Jesus' journey to the cross. Like last week we talked about the celebration of in Matthew 3 where Jesus shows up and gets baptized and God says, this is the delight of my life. This is my love at Jesus. We talked about what did Jesus do to deserve that? He just showed up. He said yes. And Jesus goes from that, you are the delight of my love, right to Matthew 4, if you read, it goes right into the desert. For 40 days, he pauses. For 40 days, he engages. He practices listening and being and fasts, where intentionally pauses from things that are good, food, water, healthy things. Write that down, all right? He pauses from those. Why? So he can look around and evaluate, is this what I really want? It's a beautiful story. Very beautiful story. So for centuries, the church has done this, and we're going to do it for a while as well. And we've provided a resource if you'd like to dive a little bit deeper than just on a Sunday. If you go to cloquetvineyard.org/Easter, I think I nailed it, all right? We have several resources for daily readings. We provided this this podcast called Pray As You Go, where they walk you through these spiritual exercises that are incredibly, incredibly beautiful. You can follow along with us as a community. And where we start in Lent that we're going to focus on, because we're going to focus on mercy, we're going to focus on a transformational life, we're going to focus on poverty, but today we start on repentance. And I know what you're like, sit down, everyone. I know you're all about to jump up and go, yeah, repentance! If you're listening to the podcast, everyone stood to their feet and I had to stop them, right? So, repentance is not a this word full of joy that we traditionally think of. But repentance is key as a healthy follower of Jesus. And it's actually something sometimes, we're going to talk about misconceptions of repentance that I think sometimes we will poo-poo or dismiss because we're like, I don't feel that, therefore I don't need to do that. But as we pause, we're going to look at the words of Jesus that so often we misread. And for me, if you've been on a journey like me, it is incredibly life-giving. So we're starting in Matthew, I believe, right here, Luke 13, starting verse 1. And we have Bibles in the back. If you want to grab some, you can use your smartphone, and I believe we even have it on the screen. Now, there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Okay, let's pause. That's a weird way to start a message, right? Just you're like, what kind of church am I in? Just pause with me, all right? Hang with me. So Jesus answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered it this way? I tell you no. But unless you repent, there's the word, unless you repent, you too will perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But again, unless you repent, you too will all perish. Right? Now, these are very strong words of Jesus. Like what I actually wrote down as like a reflection to myself was like, whoa, Jesus, slow your roll, buddy. Right? Just like, let's just take it down a notch. Because you read the story and it's like, okay, people are mixing blood. That's odd. And then there's towers falling on people. And what's Jesus' response to that? His response to that is, you could hear it. Most people hear it this way of, repent! Repent! Or I'll perish! Ah! All right? I don't know why I added the ha, ah, like there was angels singing it, right? That's not. Most people hear these words of the repent or perish, and the way the lens they hear it through is like the angry foreman, all right? Like, coffee's for the weak, get back to work, right? Repent or perish. And that's not at all. It is exactly what Jesus says, but the emotion, the connotation behind it could be a little bit different. We talk often here, because I think it's important, the way you view God matters. When you hear and you read the Bible, you think of Jesus, you think of God, how you see that divine being reflects on your theology and your practice and your worship and how you love and how you engage people. And here, this, like, have you ever heard of the term of, like, turn or burn, right? I have many times of, like, turn or burn, which is, you know, which is fine. But Jesus is saying something different here. He brings up how the Galileans and they mixing the blood and then the 18 people dying from the tower. Jesus is saying, are they, like, worse people than everyone else? And so they got what was coming to them. Because they were real sinners. There's like average junior varsity sinners, and there's like the varsity ones, right? And they really got what was coming to them. This was actually a predominant thought, which we might call karma. Like if someone was born and they were blind, they would say, what did their parents do that caused this person to be blind? If they were crippled, what did your parents do? What did your family do, even generations before you do, to bring this on themselves? They must have done something really bad to get this. And Jesus says, No, that's not how it works. Sorry, it's just not how it works. So then why then does he go to the turn or burn? Why does he then go to repent or perish? You could reframe it this way. Jesus is asking them, what is it that you really want? Like, friends, what is it that you deeply, deeply desire? Because you can get as much of it as you want and you keep going for it. Like, I'm not stopping you. But if it isn't what you want, then maybe you might want to repent. Jesus is really saying here, like what we just talked about, like, hey, just pause, friends. These horrible things are happening to other people. And you're saying, oh, it came upon themselves or because what their family did. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not how it works. But, you know, what is it that you really want? Is the thing that you are actively engaged in, is it leading to the life that you really wanted? Like, have you ever taken time to really just take count or stock of, well, hopefully you've all done this, right? You've taken stock of your finances. Like, okay, we want to retire at some point. How much do we have to put away? And if this is the first you've heard about saving for retirement, let's talk after, all right? Actually, you can talk to Peter and Becca. They're really good at that stuff, right? But you should pause and say, how much money do we take in? How much should we spend? Most people say that would be wise. Do you do the same thing with your friendships? Like, hey, how are my friendships going? It seems like we have the same five conversations over and over and over again. How's it going with your teenagers? How's it going in your marriage? How's it going with your coworkers? How is it going in, like, the evaluating your health? Like, are you content with the words that come out of your mouth? Like, I thought about this a lot this week. Am I really happy with what comes out of my mouth? And a lot of times, I'm not. See, one way you can really take stock is what we call, and this has been throughout the entire Bible, this biblical narrative of what is it that you really want. And the way you can tell is what's coming out of your life. We call that fruit. What's the fruit of your life? Because you could do the same thing with a tree, right? If you see a tree and you eat it and the apple is horrible and all the other apples are horrible, you're not going to just blame the apple. You're not going to say, apple, you should have tried harder, right? You're going to probably say, wow, this tree is sick. And we're going to have to do something about this tree. And actually, right after we just read this verse, Jesus tells a parable about this where they actually cut down this tree because it's produced no fruit. You can actually, like, Lent helps us pause and see the fruit of our lives. And if you like what you see, if it's bringing joy, if it's bringing peace, then you might say, wow, that could be something healthy. That could be heaven. But what about the things that aren't? This is what Jesus is saying. Repent, which we're going to talk a little bit what that means. Hold on, right? But I want to focus on the perish. Because Jesus is giving options here. He's saying, can you see the death for what it is? Can you see the bad fruit for what it is? Can you see what the word that uses in the Bible is this word called sin? And literally what the word sin translated from is, it's just called missing the mark. Like, you might hear the word sin and you're like, yeah, those five things that I heard on, like, Christian radio, all right? Those are the five things that I know are sins. And everything else that I'm doing, it doesn't matter. It means missing the mark. That's all it means. And there is thousands of things that we can give our life to, give our heart to, give our money to, give our minds to that could really be missing the mark. And how do you know? Look at the fruit of your life. Look at the fruit. Is it really helping you become a better human being? Is it helping you become a better neighbor? Is it helping you become a better husband or a better boss? I love seeing people, and we've had several people in this community who've had like an awakening, some out of crisis and some out of like, I just want to be a better dad, and have given up things. So I'm going to say no to this because I think there's something better inside of me. They took stock, they paused and evaluated. This is, so maybe you've heard this, like Paul, the biblical narrative, they talk about this of Adam and Eve, in the story of Adam and Eve, God says, have whatever you want, go and get it, but just don't have this one thing. There's this one thing I don't want you to have. And what does Adam and Eve do? They're like, hey, you know what, all the things we want this one. And then you go through the prophets, you go through the minor prophets, you go through the wisdom literature of Proverbs and Psalms, then you go to the New Testament, the Gospels, of course, the life of Jesus, he says it here. And you go on into like the Pauline epistles and Peter, and like Paul says this, maybe you heard it, says the wages of sin is death. And a lot of the ways I've heard that is out of punishment, out of fear, like wages of sin is death. But if you look at through the frame of Jesus just saying here, instead of angry God, but saying repent or perish, what do you really want? Paul's saying the same thing. How do you want to get paid? Like if you work a job, and let's say you work 10 hours and you get paid, what's a common rate? $1 million an hour. I think that's fairly common, right? If you work 10 hours, you're going to know what you're going to get in that paycheck. You're not going to get surprised. You're like, oh, I just made whatever 10 times a million is, right? 10 million is a joke. So you know what to expect. And Paul's saying the same thing. If you invest in sin, if you invest in things that continually miss the mark, what you're going to get at the end of it, you're going to perish. Like, have you ever seen any of your friends, or maybe you're here, you've seen yourself just spiral out of control? Someone dealing with an addiction? Seeing someone struggle with anger? Like, I've never, and I say this often, but I think it's so important. I've never met anyone that says, I hope that I can become an angry dad. When they hold that baby for the first time, like, I can't wait till I can scream at you until you cry and you tell your therapist you never want to see me again, right? Like, no parent has ever wished that. But you know, if you've been surprised, like, in yourself, how that just comes out? That might be a sign, friend, that there's something that you're giving your heart to, giving your time to, that might be missing the mark. So, like, what do you do then? Like, Lent, like, is meant to pause. If you pause and you evaluate your life, evaluate relationships, and you see something ugly come out of your life, what do you do? That's what Jesus says. He's repent. The word repent literally means just about face. It means you're walking towards something, and you stop, and you're like, hey, I don't like that I'm an angry parent. I don't like that I'm addicted to this. I don't like the way I keep thinking about how I need to be smarter than the other person. It's not helping me. And repent means just to turn. That's it. Jesus is saying, hey, this is not helping you. It's going to, actually, you're just going to lead to perish. You're going to experience death. You're going to experience not good things. Why don't you just, for a moment, just pause and spin. Now, there's a lot of people, when they hear this word repent, I've had people ask me this thing, well, how do you really know true repentance? How would we assure that they actually really repented? Did they cry? That's usually the first thing to say. Like, did they repent? Yeah, they did. Well, how much did they cry? Was it a big cry or a little cry, all right? Was there snot coming out of both nostrils or just one, all right? And honestly, if you have kids here or you have your friends of kids or you have nieces or nephews, we are experts at this, right? You're like, your kid comes to you and say, oh, hey, I'm really sorry that I hit Billy. And you're like, you're not sorry. You're not even crying, all right? I want, like, I'm so sorry that I hit Billy. Then we feel good. We're like, okay, now you're really sorry, all right? Repentance, sometimes we put so much emphasis on the emotion Like, there's stories in the Bible of people repenting and having these incredibly emotional experiences, but that's not the point. Jesus isn't saying, like, check the box. He's saying, whatever causes you to turn from death, to turn from something perish, whatever it might be, it might be you saw your friend flame out. You didn't cry. You looked at him like, ooh, that's not good for business, right? So what do? You turn. It might have been a crisis in your own life. It might be a scare. It might be something you read. It might be something you heard. It might be something that caused you to tear up. Whatever it might be, that's not the point. So we put too much emphasis on them. The point is you evaluate and say, that is not good, and you turn. Right? That's repentance. Jesus is saying, friends, what do you want? And if you don't want this, then turn to something else. But here's the other thing. It is critically important what you turn towards. It's very important what you turn towards. Just because you move from this lie, you move from this habit and say, okay, no longer am I going to invest all this time and just spending time with my friends. Now I'm going to turn all this time, I'm going to invest it in my next project, and I'm going to let it consume me. Now I'm going to turn it into just being angry. So being angry at this person, I'm getting angry at my employees. Now you're all going to get it. You're turning. You are repenting. But what are you turning towards? Because you are what you worship. You become exactly like what you worship. If you worship trying to be, like I mentioned earlier, trying to be right all the time, you're going to become I can't use that word on stage. You're going to become a very selfish, narcissistic person. I can use that word, right? If what you worship is always experiencing pleasure, then you're going to pursue pleasure in every form, shape, way that you can. But if you turn towards a Jesus-looking God, well, my friends, then maybe you might look a little bit more and more like a Jesus-looking God. But there's something I want to talk about. Have you ever been, or maybe I should say, I was talking about someone else, but really, like, maybe it's you. But we'll say someone else because it makes you feel better, right? So have you ever been around someone where they spend so much energy talking about how they're going to change, how they're going to repent? And they just spend all this energy of, now I'm going to do this, and I'm going to run 10 miles, and I'm going to start dating my wife again, and yeah, I'm going to get rid of my computer, and I'm going to put a filter so I never look at porn again. Yeah, I'm actually going to be a good employee, and I'm actually might give health insurance, right? Like, whatever it might be. And they talk over, and it's like they spend all this energy on the thinking and the dreaming and the talking, but they never put the energy towards the doing. How much energy do you invest? Like waking up in the morning, if you're like me, there's times I wake up in the morning, I'm like, hey, this is the day I make the change, and I think about it, and I dream, and I'm going to have all these conversations, and then it hits breakfast, and I'm like, hey, all right, moving on with the day, and do the same thing over and over again. How do we actually put the energy towards the doing? Because when you repent, and you're moving, and you turn, that next step is critical. Because if you just keep going from like, oh, this is death, I don't need this anymore, I'm going to turn, all right? And all right, and oh, nope, never again, okay, I'm going to keep, not this time, devil, all right? You're turning around, or whatever words you use. There's repentance is the moving, but you want to experience healing? You have that, like what we said in the very beginning, you are the desiring of God, and God desires in you and through you. Those new desires, those new dreams, you want those, it's that first step. It's in the doing. It's in the practicing. Like, repentance is this beautiful, beautiful thing. This is why, like, we have community. This is why we do church. Not just to listen to my outstanding great jokes. It's meant that there's people around you that love you and that are for you and want those beautiful things in you and through you. That could say, we're going to do it together. So my friends, my question again is, what is it that you really want? Are you content with your life? What is it that you're hungry for? And I pray that we, this Lenten season, as we pause and we evaluate, instead of going to the turn or burn, instead of repent or perish, we can look at it and say, this could lead me to perish. This could lead me to something I never really wanted, but I'm leaning that way. No more. That we can turn and we can move towards health. We can move towards healing. and to my friends who are here today that you feel stuck. You've been waking up with that darkness, that pain, that lie, that perish over and over and over again, and you're to the point of saying, I don't know what to do. You are in great company. You're an outstanding company. You might look around and say, they all have it together. We're all in the same boat. We really are. We're all in the same boat. We're a mess. I heard one guy, he goes, we're just a bunch of beggars helping other beggars find bread. And we can do it. There's bread. And that bread is turning and seeing a good and beautiful God. I keep pointing as like death is over here and God's over here and no one's going to come up to this side of the stage. You're like, well, let's get communion over here, friends. Right? But it's available, and there's a good and beautiful God who wants something for you. So my invitation this Lenten period, for me, I wasn't going to say this, but I will share with you, like, part of Lent is that you will fast, like Jesus did. Jesus withdrew from food for 40 days so that he can engage and evaluate. And actually what happens, he gets tempted by, the story goes, he gets tempted by the devil by three things, and Jesus speaks back truth, and it exhausts him. And at the end of it, if you read at the end, it's just one little verse, and said that the angels came and tended to his needs. When you fast, when you give up, intentionally give up something that you might like, you might enjoy, and it might cause you pain, you can't think about living without that thing, on the back end of it, God still comes and meets all your needs. So for me, the thing that I'm giving up for Lent is I'm giving up my phone, right? Like, it's not. I'm giving it up. I still have it on me, right? I'm giving up my phone. When I prayed about it, I felt like, what robs me of my attention? Not so much at work. I'm still going to use some of my things for work, but when I'm home, what robs my attention is when I get that little buzz. Like, not a buzz, like a phone buzz, as I should say. On podcasts, I'm pointing to my pocket. Like, what is Chris doing? I just get that little buzz. But even when it's on the counter and I hear it vibrate, I might be with my kids and I'll look at it. And I'm thinking, what am I missing? Versus, what am I with? What am I willing to be present in? And it was weird to say, I'm giving up my phone? That's like a normal thing. So this is not me saying phones are from the devil. What I'm saying is, what is something that, as you pause, that might rob you from being present? And if you'd like to participate in that, I'd love to hear your journey in that. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to invite us to stand, and we're going to pray. You become like what you worship. And when you evaluate the fruit of your life and you see something come out, you might say, what am I giving my best to? What am I worshiping? So I'm going to pray. And when I'm done praying, I'm going to invite people to come up in the ministry team. And there might be something you feel like you're carrying with you that you're investing in that maybe isn't the best. And I can tell you right here, friends, you're not going to get any shame like up here. There's no one's going to look at you and say, you do what? You thought what? Like, ooh, we're going to need some extra help over here. Billy, come on. We got one, right? That's not how we do things around here. What you're going to find is you're going to find probably someone who says, yeah, me too. Me too. So let us pray. Join me. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Like God's presence, will you come? And as we've been talking, God, will you help us be able to see things for what they really are? Help us to see, like, how much energy do we put towards thinking about changing? How much energy do we put posting on social media? Here's how we have to change, and here's the action, and how often we sit over coffee saying, okay, this is it. I ask, God, you help move that needle from the energy from talking, move that energy to our feet. You move, help us invest that energy towards doing, towards teaching, towards inspiring, towards getting healthy. And I ask, even right now, you'd bring to mind, what are the things that rob us from those? What things do we participate in? What things are we willingly in agreement with that rob us from being present, that it doesn't help us pause and see things. What new beginnings are available to us? And for those, what things we have to let go? Those things that we let go, we repent. No longer will I. And we help us turn towards you. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you are good, that you lead us to. It's your kindness, it's your love, it's your beauty that leads us to repentance. So we welcome you. Amen. So here's my invitation. The ministry team's going to make their way up. There's a couple things I wrote down. The first one is this, that there's something you feel like you really do need to repent of. And if in my journey, repentance and confession have been some of the most significant times in my life to actually say it out loud, of saying, I no longer want to do, or I no longer want to think. And I needed someone to like be with me, to like not laugh at me, to not mock me, but just someone to put their hand on me and pray. If you're there, we have the people up here would love the opportunity to do that with you. The second thing is this, you're having a hard time pausing. Why not? Like, a great place to start is like ask someone to pray with you, saying, "Can you help me pause? I need God to help me pause." And lastly, this has nothing to do with what I talked about, but I believe that God speaks to us. One of the things that I've noticed over the past like 6 weeks, I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, "Hey, my friendships are a mess. My marriage is a mess. I'm done. I don't know what to do anymore. I am lost." It's happened enough times where I'm like, oh, like this might be, is it the weather? Maybe, right? Is it something else? It might be, but it's where we are. If you're here and as a group of friends, or you're here with your partner or with your spouse, I would encourage you to come up as a team, as a group of friends, or as a family, or as a couple, and allow someone to pray for you. Because it's when we acknowledge this is what I want, but we want something better, there are beautiful things happen. So we're going to worship for a little bit. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.